Alright, we shall begin the Sunday Bible hour. This morning, we are going to go into very controversial topics to some of us, especially when it comes to the issue about when conception starts, when life begins, and all those and that kind of argument. But today, we're not going to go through that because that will be something for you to go and search further and then develop that conviction. But what we're going to look at is this matter of the issue about abortion, what has it done to the many lives, innocent lives, that has been destroyed? And a bit history background, and then we're going to look at some developmental aspect of from fertilization, conception, and then what happened. It's pretty wonderful when you see how God created life, and then from there how it developed, and even as a developmental baby, the baby can feel, can hear, can a lot of things. And when you realize that, you see why abortion is such a terrible thing. All right, I hope that today when we go back, we will be the Lord can speak to us regarding this. Let's commit this time to the Lord, and then ask the Lord to give us a blessed time together. Father, we are so thankful, Lord, for your mercy and grace, even for the truth, your word, Lord, that tell us that you are God and you are the creator of this heaven and earth, and how you send your Lord, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come and to die for our sin, and that we may have salvation freely and to be blessed of you through your grace and your mercy. And by faith, Lord, we can enjoy not only the blessed hope, also, in this present life, we can look to you. Your Bible will guide us, and your truth will show us all the error and free us from false belief and thinking. Father, we just pray, even as we approach this topic about abortion, I pray, Father, that you will just help us to learn, and also, Lord, to your will be done, Lord, concerning this area. Just pray that you grant us a blessed time now. Commit this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, first of all, I'd like to give you some statistics. Very simple, but of course, if you want more, you can go to the internet. There are many, many statistics. What I have is that in the website that I went to, they state that abortion is legal in 54 countries. That was many years back, but now I believe it's even more. Of course, that also includes Singapore. Singapore legalized abortion in 1975, just after the big controversial in the United States, you know, in 73, when the U.S. legalized abortion. But the interesting thing is that Singapore is one of the most liberal abortion nation. That means the criteria is so much more lax. No consent, no nothing. All you have to do is walk in, express why. In those days, even worse, they just go through the abortion like that. But today, I believe there's a lot more things that they put in place. According to WHO, World Health Organization, every year in the world, there are an estimated about 40 to 50 million abortions. And if you put that as a per day kind of thing, it is 125,000 every day. This figure, of course, is not accurate. I believe there are many unreported abortion that has been done, and it's terrible. And this majority of these abortion, they are done as a mean of birth control as well as for convenience. If you look at the statistic, very, very low is because of medical ground. The mother's life is in danger if the pregnancy were to go on. Or the child has already got a lot of problem, you know, the survival rate is like almost zero and things like that, you know. And medically, you can say that it's as good as dead for something like that. So, but it's very, very low, the rate. And it's sad to see that the incident of abortion is attributed because of convenience and for birth control. Whatever this, we know we think about legal, legalization of abortion. In the law, there's nothing wrong. But as far as we as Christian, God's people, we are obliged to honor God. And God's law, put God's law above man's law in this case. All right? Because in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, the Bible tells us, then Peter and the other apostle answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men, particularly in this aspect of abortion. All right. I would like to just go through with you. I find this very interesting because when I go through these developmental stages of a baby and also some of the abortion techniques that have been used, it's very heartbreaking. At the same time, when you look at that, at the different stage, the kind of suffering that the child will go through because of the abortion. Of course, we know that there is this fertilization. After that, it begins the whole process of conception. By day 21, you'll find that the baby hearts begin to beat and blood flow through its body. And then day 45, the tiny brain can be detected, even the brain wave. At week 8 to 9, the eyelids begin to form and hairs appear. Then week 10, the child will start to suck her tongue, turn, somersault, jump, and then squint to close out light, frown, swallow, and move the tongue. Okay? Now, any abortion done during this, before week 10 or at week 10, they call it the menstrual extraction. This early state of development, suction abortion are performed. How they do it, they use a small tube. Then they dilate the cervix. And when they just go in there and try to suck. And there are two types of suction. One is a manual, the other one is the electric pump. And it's very strong. It's approximately about 24 times, 30 times stronger than normal household vacuum. But there are many cases where the fetal remains are not removed totally. Infection results and require full dilation of the cervix and a scraping out of the womb. So you can imagine is how terrible it is. All right. Then if a child would enter his week 12 to 13, the arteries are also present, the vocal cords are complete, and then the baby cried silently and can feel pain. And any abortion done during this stage, they will use this what we call suction aspiration, and general or local anesthesia is given to the mother, and then her cervix will be quickly dilated. All right. I know the description can be a little bit graphic, but basically what they do is they use a suction curette. All right, it's actually a hollow tube with a knife-edged tip. And then what they do is they insert it into the womb. Then this instrument is then connected to a vacuum machine by a transparent tube. The vacuum suction, like I mentioned earlier, is about 30 times more powerful than a household vacuum cleaner. And what happened after that? They will just cut the fetus and then try to suck it up. You know, and then everything into small pieces. Then to suck it out of and put it in a bottle, and after they just discard it. That is for this method. There's another method called the dilation and the curettage. It's similar, but it is with added insertion of a hook-shaped knife. Same thing. It's just perhaps even more drastic. Then they are scraped out through the cervix and then discarded. If the child goes into a more developmental stage at week 14, the mother will begin to feel the baby moving inside her. At week 15, the fetus has an adult taste bud and may be able to savor the mother's meal. And then week 16, the fetus will be about 14 centimeters tall and only 170 grams in weight. Okay, the eyebrow, eyelashes, and fine hair will appear. The baby can grasp with his hand, kick, or even somersault. As it progresses to week 20 to 21, the child can hear and recognize the mother's voice. Even though they're still small and fragile, the baby is growing rapidly and could possibly survive if born at this stage. Have you seen baby born so small? It's interesting, the baby this size, but everything is formed. It's just a matter of growing bigger and bigger, that's all. Then you'll find that fingernails and fingerprints appear. Of course, in this case now, the sex organs are visible. That's why when you go for ultrasound, at this stage, you will be able to determine the sex of the child. Using an ultrasound, like I mentioned, the doctor can tell if the boy is a girl, the child is a boy or a girl. Sorry, the child is a boy or a girl. All right. At this stage, the kind of techniques used is called dilation and evacuation. It's used for those who are up to 18 weeks of gestation. So instead of just now mentioned the loop-shaped knife used in the dilation and cuterage, now a pair of forceps is inserted into the womb and to grasp part of the fetus. The teeth of the forceps will twist and tear the bone of the unborn child. This process is repeated until the fetus is totally dismembered and removed. Usually the spine must be snapped and the skull crushed in order to remove them. That's how... The reason why I want to bring this, because imagine a living person inside there can feel, can hear, can, you know, it's almost, it's a human being really. But having to be murdered in this way is a very terrible way to go. Of course, if those are under, say, about 16 weeks, that's about 4 months, when the fluid has accumulated, they use this thing called salt poisoning. What happens is a long needle injects a strong salt solution through the mother's abdomen into the baby's sac. Then the baby will swallow this fluid and is poisoned by it. It will take this salt act as a corrosive. It will burn off the outer layer of the skin. It takes over an hour for the baby to die from within 24 hours from this salt poisoning. And then within 24 hours, labor will be usually set in and the mother will give birth to a dead or dying baby. Of course, there have been many cases of this baby being born alive. And from what I read in the internet, that the doctor will just leave the baby there and for the baby to just die. And when you read this, you just cannot imagine what a doctor is supposed to save life. For someone to perform an abortion and to see a baby dying away, I don't know what to say about this doctor. Anyway, that's what happened. Those that are at month 6, the unborn child will be covered with a fine, downy hair called lanugo. It is a tender skin protected by a waxy substance called the vernix. And some of this substance may still be on the child's skin at birth, at which time it will quickly absorb. So when this the child will practice breathing by inhaling ammonic fluid into developing lung. Even at month 6, this abortion method called the post-gladding abortion. All right, they use artificial hormones which cause the uterus to contract intensively, pushing out the developing baby. And then the contractions are more and more violent than normal, this natural contraction. So the unborn baby is frequently killed by them. Some have been decapitated. Many, however, have been born alive. This is by far the worst. What happened is when the doctor will get the baby out fit first, but the head will still be stuck. Then they just jab a long thing into the skull. And then they'll just suck the brain out until the skull collapses. And then they just pull the whole baby out and then discard it. That's what they did. The other one is called hysterectomy or C-section. All right. But usually this one, it will be by surgery and then like C-section, the delivery. Except that the umbilical cord is usually cut while her baby is still in the womb. So by cutting off the oxygen and then causing the child to suffocate. And even then, sometimes the baby is removed alive and simply left to die or neglect or to exposure. So that is the different week. Then at week 32, the fetus will spend 90 to 95% of the day sleeping and sometimes experience what we call REM sleep. an indication of dreaming. Here we have this, what we call partial birth abortion. It will be guided by ultrasound. The abortionist will grab the baby. Oh, this is the one that I'm saying. Then the baby's leg will pull out into the birth canal, then accept the head. Then you will just use a scissors into the baby's skull. The scissors are then opened to enlarge the skull. Then they remove the suction catheter, and the brain are sucked out, skull collapse, and then the dead baby is removed. At week 40, which is the full term, of course, we will see that the baby will be born in a natural, the contraction or by C-section. I think that's about it. So the reason why I feel it's so important for us, so that we can appreciate when we talk about abortion. I don't know, in Singapore today, it is mandatory that all who wants to go through abortion will have to view a video about the whole process, and they will have to go through counseling. I guess basically it's to discourage. But under the law, if they so choose to, the law will have to be followed. They will have to still carry out the abortion. Let's take a look at what the Bible says concerning about this matter of abortion of an unborn child. First, we want to consider that the Bible says that man is created in the image of God. In Genesis chapter 1, 26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So, as far as the doctrine of evolution is concerned, it has a moving force over this matter of abortion and in the abortion industry, because evolution teaches that man is only an animal. And of course, if you read the history of evolution, there is this doctrine called recapitulation. It's very interesting when you see how they propound this evolution theory. They say that, especially by this guy called Ernest Haeckel, who is an admirer and a follower of Charles Darwin. Okay, and he says that the embryo will go through a lot of stages until finally at the last stage, it becomes a human being. But before that, it will go through the matter of the embryonic stage, you know. There is this thing that just let you know that there's this theory called autogeny recapitulates phylogeny. You know, basically you talk about the evolutionary development, where from a single cell the thing develops into a fish, and then from a fish become an amphibian, and then a reptile, and then mammal, and then after become ape, and then from there evolve into a human being in the womb. During his time, of course, we later on was found he actually lie. He actually do a lot of presentation by deliberately using pictures and drawing, altering the actual. He will take a fish embryo, then he will go and cut, you know, away some of the thing and then make it look. So basically, because of this evolution theory, the value of an unborn child is looked upon as like an animal, you know. So this evolution has a great impact on this matter of the abortion. Then in 1990, there is this couple, Carl Sagan and his wife, argue that abortion is ethical on the ground that the fetus is not fully human until the 6 months. In fact, even right now, there is a lot of controversy going on as to when life begins. Now, they have this matter of the right of the to live of the unborn child and the right of the woman, because they say this body is mine, you know, and I can do whatever with my body, and I have the right to protect my own body. And the law, abortion, was legalized on this basis, because after that debate with, you know, in America, it goes into this camp, and then because of that, abortion was legalized. So we find that men believe that the value of human being is just like an animal. But God tells us that we are created in His image. Okay? Different. In the eyes of God, we are, even in our mother's womb, God sees us as very valuable, very precious, and we are a person, not an animal. God forbid men to shed innocent blood. Because we find 20 times the Bible forbid the shedding of the innocent blood. Example, in Deuteronomy chapter 19, if you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 10 to 13, the Bible tells us very clearly, all right, Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 10 to 13, verses 10 to 13, the innocent blood be not shed in thy land, which the Lord thy God given thee for an inheritance, and so blood be upon thee. But if any man hit his neighbor and lie in wait for him and rise up against him and smite him mortally, that he die and flee into one of these cities, the elders of the city shall send and fetch him tent and deliver him into the hand of the avenger of blood, that he may die. Thy eye shall not pity him, but thou shalt put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, that it may go well with thee. That's why we believe that the Bible stated very clearly about this matter of capital punishment, a life for a life. Okay. And then this also refers to killing a person without a just cause. In 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 5, for he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation of all Israel. Thou sawest it, and this rejoice. Wherefore, when thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? So here we find that, you know, when we talk about self-defense, when we talk about going to war and all those, whatever it is, I don't think the Lord will hold us about this thing. But when we kill someone out without a just cause, the Bible tells us that God will hold us accountable. And also God hates those who shed innocent blood. Okay? In Proverbs 6, 16 to 17, the Bible tells us, these 16 doeth the Lord hate, yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Okay? So when we talk about innocent blood, how much more innocent is this unborn baby? What did they do? They were brought into this world and they were just nicely having, in the womb to be brought into this world. They didn't do anything. But because of man's sinful, depraved nature, we did this kind of terrible thing, shed innocent blood. Thirdly, we find that even though modern science calls the unborn a fetus, but it is called a child in the Bible. All right, in Genesis 25:22, the Bible tells us, and the children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. Here we have this matter of the... the example of Esau and Jacob. Alright? Esau and Jacob, they were inside the womb, sort of like fighting against one another. And in verse 25 here, let's look at 23. Verse Genesis 23. It's not inside here. Oh, have. 25:23. It says here, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people that I shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other, and the elders shall serve the younger. As far as God is concerned, all right, it is not just a fetus; it is a child already. It is a person, all right, with characters and more. No, one over the other, one will rule over the other. As far as God is concerned, and we have another example when Jeremiah was called to be a prophet while he was still in the womb. In Jeremiah chapter 1, 5, God says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. I believe you heard story about many child who were supposed to be aborted, but yet it didn't succeed. And as years goes by, the child grew up, and the child become man or woman of substance, of great influence and contribution to the good of this mankind. So imagine if this life would have been taken from the beginning, we have actually robbed, you know, mankind of this this life that will do lots of good. So that's what the Bible want us to consider. It's not just a fetus, something that old of no consequences, of no significance, but the potential, you know, the child, as far as in God's eyes is concerned, God has a plan and something for the person. Okay? And then John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit and responded to Christ while in the womb. Because in Luke chapter 1, verse 15, the Bible tells us, "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb." Then in Luke chapter 1, verses 41 to 44, we have this account of when, I think Mary, right? Let's turn to Luke chapter 1. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ear, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." You know, so even John the Baptist, we find that as far as the baby is concerned, the baby is able to respond to such a... before Christ was even present, you know, the baby can respond with the glory and, you know, the adoration of this matter of Christ. All right? Then we find in the Old Testament, the law of Moses also demanded for punishment if an unborn baby was harmed. Exodus 21, verses 22 to 23, "If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her," that means cause an abortion or miscarriage, "and yet no mischief follow, he surely shall be punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then what? Thou shalt give life for life." Even in the Old Testament, God uphold this matter of the value of life. That this matter of for someone to cause the death of an unborn child will have to pay for his with his own life. Okay, so it is clear that the Bible tells us the children are the heritage of the Lord, you know. And this is one principle that help us to consider that our body is not ours. The child is not ours. It belongs to God. Okay? Because Psalms 127, verse 3. Let's see whether I have this. "Lord, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Okay? What I want to say is this. When we think about this matter of the abortion, trying to get my thoughts. The child belongs to God. It is not our right to take away the life that was given to us. Okay? Because the whole idea of the legalization of the abortion is based on the woman's right. As far as her health is concerned, as far as her body is concerned, It's my body. I choose to do what I think is best for my body. And I have that right. But the Bible says we don't have that right. Because that right, we belong to God. What? The unborn child also is from God. You know, when we have that settled in our heart, you will never thought about this matter of taking away that which God has given. Okay? So that's the thing that I want to emphasize. All right? And God, the Bible tells us that God is in control of conception. That is the title of that, the heading. Okay. I have given you the reference Genesis 20, verse 18, all the way to 30 to 22, right? Okay, so it tells us that God is the one is in control of the conception. Let's read through the verses. For the Lord had first closed up all the wombs of those of Abimelech because of Abraham's wife. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Then 30:22, and God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. So conception actually is from the Lord. It's very interesting if you were to read, look into even today about for fertilization to take place. It's a very huge task, you know. For that to happen, the chances is greatly reduced. And then for conception to continue until full term, there's a lot of things to consider before the child can be born safely and completely and all those things. You know, the mother has to be very careful with medicine, with whatever, and all those kind of things. But as far as this is concerned, it's all in the Lord's hand. The Lord is the one that, for someone who is able to conceive and give birth to a child, is God's grace and God working in the body of the person and allowing controlling everything to make sure that it, from fertilization all the way until birth. And that gives us a confidence that all things are in God's hand. And sometimes when we think about pregnancy, it can be a very stressful for the husband or very, anxious kind, a lot of anxiety. How will my baby be? Worry about this, worry about that. But just trust and pray and then commit the Lord. If the Lord's will for the baby to be woke up, but the Lord has some different thing and want you to go through some kind of trial and testing or what, then it's also in the Lord's hand, you know. The idea here is the Lord will give. The Lord will ensure. Okay. Next, we see that the Bible says that God formed the child in the womb. This one we find that in Psalms 139, from verse 16 to 19, we have this matter of David telling us how he sees about his own life, even in the mother's womb. Shall we turn to Psalms 139, verses 13 to 16? The Bible tells us that, for thou hast possessed my reign, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Thy eye did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which thou continuest was fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Okay? So, the word reigns here refer to the immaterial part of man. That is his heart, soul, and spirit. All right, it is closely associated with not really the physical heart, but the part that refers to man's will, the seat of all his desire, the affection, and the passion. When God formed, when the child is formed inside there, in the eyes of God, this child has when we talk about the heart, when we say my heart is heavy, you know, it doesn't mean that the physical heart, you know, is so heavy that you're going to come. It just simply means that the emotion, the immaterial part. Okay, and what's the key thing here is that as far as God is concerned, God look at the not the physical aspect of it, it's the spiritual aspect of it. It's the immaterial part of them. That as it forms, this will come into being. Okay. And then we see that this scriptural verses that tell us, you look at from Psalms 16 verse 7 onward, right up to Jeremiah chapter 20 to 12, and even Revelation 2 to 2:23, it gives you an idea what it means by this rain. I will bless the Lord who had given me counsel. My rain also instruct me in the night season. Psalms 26, 2, examine me, O Lord, and prove me, try my reins and my heart. All right. 73:21, thus my heart was grieved and I was pricked in my reins. Proverbs 23:16, yea, my reins shall rejoice, then thy lips speak right things. Isaiah 11:5, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loin, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Jeremiah 11:20, but O Lord of hosts, that judges righteously, that tries the rein and heart, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I revealed my cause. Okay? And Jeremiah 17:10, I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the rein, even to give every man according to his way and according to the fruit of his doing. Jeremiah 20:12, but O Lord of hosts, that tries the righteous and seest the reins and the heart, let me see thy vengeance on thee, and for unto thee have I opened my cause. Right? And then in Revelation 2:23, and I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and the heart. I will give unto every one of you according to your works. So, God possess and fashion David's ring. As far as all this is concerned, God is the one that formed in us, that deal, you know. This is something that is in God's realm, you know. We will never be able to understand and we will never be able to interfere. You know, how the Lord is working in the immaterial part. Alright? So, according to Psalms 139, it appears that the realm are already present in the newly conceived person, even though the body has yet to be formed. All right. The Psalm teach us that man's reign are possessed of God, they are formed by him and owned by him and returned to him in death. That means when we stand before God, God will tell us that. That's why, you know, you find a Bible, God always tell us that before you were born, where you will stay in your mother's womb, I already knew you. You know, as far as God is concerned, God is the one that has this in His own realm. He has this back and forth with us already. So, in the eyes of God, He formed a total person in the womb. Okay, and then God fashioned David's body also. From verse 16 to 19 of Psalms 139. Because David says, I will praise thee, for I am what fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. You know, when you, I encourage you to go and look at the whatever resources, that there are many. From the embryonic stage, how the spine start to form. Even from the fertilization stage, you know, the division of cell, the chromosomes start to merge, and then after that, will determine which chromosome we will take on, and then start to form the cell, and then after that, you have the spine, and then the head will form, the limb will start coming out. And then, you know, it's so amazing how the process of conception, until you look at that product, you know, that little child, it's so amazing. And did you know that as a human being, according to what I hear, we have 100 billion over cells all working in harmony in our body for us to function the way we are functioning. Everything works so perfect. Clockwork, you know, precision. In harmony, everything is smoothly working together in order for us to have this body to be able to... Of course, there's a physical aspect. What about that faculty, the emotion, you know, and then the intellect, and then the matter of the freedom of will and all those kind of things, the spiritual, and all those kind of things. And David was able to see how he was so fearfully and wonderfully made. And David praised God, said, "Marvelous are thy work, right? And that my soul knoweth right well." If we think of our life and how our life is being given by God, and how God very intricately made us, you'll be amazed, you know, how we will respond. All right. In 139 verse 15 and 16, there is a wonderful description of how the infant grows in the womb, beginning with the microscopic fertilized egg. Let's read at this, because it's very interesting when we see these verses that describe. I want for us to just go into Exodus 26 to 36. Not 2, 26 verse 36. "And thou shalt make an hanging of the door of the tent, of blue, of purple, and scarlet, and fine twine, linen, wrought with needlework." Because word that describe how God made, is like as if there's embroidery. Have you seen embroidery and needlework being done? And especially when you see a piece of fine art, of embroidery and needlework. It's so intricate, and it's so the way it works, the end product is so amazing. How through the hand of a human, such intricacy, you know. So in a way, it gives us a picture of how God intricately and so marvelously, so wonderfully, and so amazingly created us through this matter of childbirth. That's the whole idea here, okay? And the word used is needlework, translated, same thing as needlework, and then in Exodus 38 to 23, it's translated embroiderer. All right, it says that, "And with him was Aholiah, son of Abishamach, of the tribe of Dan, an engraver and a cunning workman, and what? Embroiderer in blue and in purple and in scarlet and fine linen." Basically, here it gives us an idea that as far as God is concerned, God was the one that do all this marvelous work, you know, and that make us such a... We are the crown of God's creation. We are the one that God endowed us with the spirit and with the soul. We are the one that God even sent his only begotten son to die for us. Not only we are wonderfully made, but we are also so precious in God's sight. So, as far as God is concerned, all that he has done, all that trouble that he has taken, do you think that we should just, out of convenience, out of our own selfishness and things like that, take away our life like that from God? I don't think so. All right? So, in the light of this Bible teaching, we know that abortion is certainly not, it's murder. All right? It's a terrible thing. The child does not belong to the mother, it belongs to God, the Creator. A woman is not free to do with her body as she pleases, because she is created also and is accountable to God. And further, the infant in her womb is a separate body and a separate individual. So we need to be very clear about this. Finally, idolaters killed their sons and daughter with this, and this was something that God hated. We look at Psalms 106 and verse 38. Don't have it here. Do I have it? No. Shall we turn to Psalms 106:38? Verse 106:38. And shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Okay? So, we read in the Old Testament, the heathen, you know, those people in Canaan, and how they worship the idol, and then they have human sacrifice. And usually, it is the children that are being offered and sacrificed, all right, so that they can benefit from or appease the idol or the wrath of the God, and then get out of the kind of situation that they want to. I trust that as we have this lesson this morning, it will give you a better understanding when it comes to the issue of abortion. Of course, there are many other controversy things that are still going on, like when life begins. In fact, now it's still debating about this. And then there's one article I read from the Ministry of Health, is that they are pushing for a review of the abortion law and asking for change. It will still be there, but at least the criteria most probably will be stricter. That would discourage more people to have easy access to abortion. When you make it easy, you know, it's very interesting how law are catered to the situation. For example, like in the state, even in the state where they legalize drug abuse, taking of marijuana and whatever, you know, because they say what is unsafe for these people, might as well make it safe for them. After all, they still need to take drugs. So they legalize drug taking in the name of what? Safe, whatever you call that, lah. In the same argument, why they legalized way back in the past was that since many of the women still go for abortion by unlicensed people and subjected to their health, law problem, we might as well legalize it so that we can make it safe for them. Of course, there is this thing that is advocated. Well, whether you like it or not, young people will get involved in all those things, so we might as well make it safe. And then make it available, those kind of contraceptive and things like that. A lot of this kind of argument, where it's all start with men and end with men. So I hope you will consider this. By the way, any one of us have anything to add on to this? I hope this morning the lesson on abortion will really enlighten all of us. Any one of you? Yes, Sister Charlene. So we talk about contraception, you know. Of course, there is a lot of. Okay. So of course, there is the argument. When we talk about abortion, it's the issue of when lives begin. All right. If there's no life in the first place, there's. If you look into the definition of abortion, it is always related to that fertilization has taken place and that there is a fetus. Abortion, basically, there are two types. One is called spontaneous abortion, which is miscarriage. The other one is induced, which is what I mentioned in many of it. It's either medically or surgically. Medically means through drugs and everything. Surgically means by using some of this technique. All right, is to expel the fetus, and then as a result, it causes death or leads to death. You know, so that is a definition of abortion. So when we talk about this matter of thing, there is the issue about, in the first place, is that considered an abortion? Or you talk about. This is something for us to go and, the conviction or How? Anyone would like to contribute this? Like what Sister Charlene said? Should Christian practice contraception? Basically, I think that's what she means, right? So, but when we talk about contraception, what is it that we believe? Did the Bible say anything about contraception in the first place? I think it's case by case and individual situation. In fact, one of the reasons why they legalized abortion is many of them expressed that they could not raise the child, in a sense, afford to have the child. The child will either go hungry and whatever, and cannot provide for the child, and cannot take care of the child, have no means to take care of the child, and all those kind of things. Those are some of the reasons that many people opt for abortion. There are many reasons. Some are, of course, you know, because of incest, because of being raped, because of some medical issue, or the child is diagnosed with some disability and things like that. The reason for abortion, there are many, many, and depends on a lot of individuals with whatever circumstances they are going through. But that is regards to abortion. But else, whatever Sister Charlene mentioned, is really like what Pastor said, is another different topic. Oh, okay. There is also testimony of people whose child was diagnosed with disability, but when they grew up, they overcome their disability, and that child was a blessing to the family, as well as a useful person and not really a disability. Down syndrome. There are people who uses this as a reason to abort the child. But what I'm trying to say is that in the eyes of God, you know, as far as God is concerned, it's all of God's plan. And as far as God's people is concerned, it ought to be by faith, trusting God, and by the grace of God, to care and to raise this child with whatever limitation that you have. But God can do wonderful work, which we have seen in many lives who have gone through this. Yes, of course. The point that I raised that is no one can play God. and to determine who has a right to born and who don't have a right to born because of that the background. No, I'm just trying to bring across a point that no one has the right to do that. Because in our eyes, we may see something that is justifying the... But as far as God is concerned, we have no right to do that. I also come across this issue about the opposite of birth control. People who try to conceive but artificially, through IVF. So how does that come into? I'm sure there are also Christian couples who went for IVF so that they can conceive and have a child. So what does that, you know, come into the picture of? Are we... What, medically speaking, and then it's practice, but morally and ethically, of course, then we'll come back to the Bible. What does the Bible has anything to say about this? Even for this matter of contraception, does the Bible clearly taught? We know abortion is very clear, but as far as contraception, it's something for us to go and, like Pastor Johnny said, like, you have to form your own conviction based on whatever counsel and all those. And then let the Lord speak to you.
Okay, it is sin against God, and people who have done it later on. Okay, this is anecdotal, right? Meaning that it's personal testimony. Some people say, no, I feel more free. But some people, many of them actually suffer psychological, physical problems as a result. Okay, no one can sin against God and get away with it. Okay, there is forgiveness with God as well. We thank God. And usually when a person have gone through that and maybe we were not involved in the process and after that, always remember they need to have a repentant heart and to know that God does forgive. Okay, that's one thing I like to actually, and we have to agree on that. Okay? And the other thing is, how do we prevent that from happening? Many times, a lot of the two ways, one is actually within marriage. Okay, that in itself, let's say a child is already born within marriage, whether deformed or not, it is sin. Questions? Okay. To abort the child. To abort the child, that means you intentionally take it away and you find out, oh, this child has Down syndrome. Oh, this child is, see, or based on what Brother Long said, Elizabeth and Brother Desmond, I said, yeah, there are some... I've known, working in the special needs area, many children have ever overcome. But what about those who never? I have a friend and I just found out he's one of the student counselors from SAJC as well. And he's a high, well, I would say high flyer. I just found out he has a child, cerebral palsy. Now the child is 20 years old, still bedridden. Is that quality of life? But thank God he's a Christian. And you see, it's God may not change the person's physical condition, but God may change you to accept the will of God. Does that make sense? They chose not to abort. Okay, they chose. So we need to. Abortion is wrong in itself within a family context. Okay, but if you're not married, it's equally wrong. All right. But what if this girl was raped, or what if something happened? There's only one way. That is not a reason. I say it very clearly. That is not a reason. Because it's murder. You have to intentionally kill someone. Two wrongs don't make a right. Okay? How do we prevent that for those who are not married? Before. How do we prevent that from happening? How do we prevent teenage pregnancy, like basically, or pregnancy before? All right, so that's why when I was teaching on fornication, hands off. don't give any opportunity for that to happen. Okay? Personally, I've counseled teenagers who have gone through that. And it's very painful. Very painful for the parents, especially non-Christian parents. First thing, kill. Really, kill. And the parents will say, and it's true, this is my daughter. I wasn't full time, but parents just say it's not my. Not your business, it's my family's business. Kill, kill. Okay, and so that's why young people, as a learning point for this, keep yourself absolutely pure. Okay, that's one thing. Keep yourself pure physically, but keep yourself pure from what you read. You know, the newspapers are sometimes graphically describe certain things that have happened. Sometimes it's best for you not to read how it happened. Because what Satan is doing, listen, is dropping in hints of how to do it. Does that make sense? He's just teaching you how, the steps to do it. Okay? So sometimes when we buy newspapers, but I know those columns, I just tear it out, I cut it out before my children access it. But when we cannot comprehensively deal with everything, but sometimes it's best not to get too interested. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, in malice be children. That means, let's turn to the verse. 1 Corinthians. These are some of the principles. I hope you take it seriously. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Yeah, in verse 20, okay? The Bible says, read together. You are there. 1 Corinthians 14:20. Ready? 1, 2, go. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. Paul says, in malice, in things that are wrong, be like innocent, you don't know anything about it. It's better. These kind of things you don't have to know. Many of our young people have been robbed of their innocency by the things they read, they see, and sometimes, unfortunately, by adults who spew these kind of things in conversation. So you need to be very careful what we say. Alright? So, children, you have a responsibility. Your mom and dad cannot be around you all the time. Can I say from a pastoral perspective, it is your responsibility before God who sees all things to make sure you sift out things you know you're not supposed to see. And if you do not know anything, just ask your mom and dad, mom, should I be reading this or that? And I'm sure dad and mom will guide you along. A lot of Christian teenagers are into immorality. And that is a very dangerous thing. Okay? And Satan knows. He just exposes you. And then as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So sometimes people think I'm very conservative. You know why? Satan, how shall I read? Satan doesn't play by the rules. Okay? Satan doesn't play by the rules. When you're in a warfare with Satan, who is after your soul to destroy it, like a vigilant soldier, an army fighting another army, every little thing, you'll be very careful. Does that make sense? We're not paranoid. We're just being vigilant as a Christian. Does it make sense? Okay? Young teenagers, God has given you the gift of virginity. Keep it until God places it where it should be with your loved one in a marriage situation. Does it make sense? Don't give your heart or your body to anyone. And by the way, if they respect you, they don't touch you anyway. Okay? Are we clear on that? You know, this one, hopefully when Brother Tay Leong was describing it, it should scare you a little bit. Okay, so I just want to make that very, very clear. And of course, as parents, we do have a responsibility to guide. And children in this manner, please listen to your parents. Please listen to your parents. Because God put them as authorities to protect you. If you don't know, or if this guy is doing something, you know, I was at McDonald's the other day, I was doing my work, and then it's obvious this two person from particular junior college was kind of, it's junior college, right? And the guy was trying to like touch here and there and all that kind of thing. staring at them for a while. They look at me, then they stop, then after that, they continue again. You know what? This is just a precursor to problems. You know, this is not even abortion, but you know what? It leads there. You have to make the decision. But if you make a decision, no, I'm going to keep myself pure for God. I'm going to honor my parents. Okay, your parents are having a heart already. Don't break their hearts further. Okay, I just want to put that in. But later on, if you have to deal with this outside of marriage, the entire ministry is gone. Whatever your parents' ministry has, okay, whatever reputation your families have is also gone. Satan is very smart. Never mind. You, just a little bit, it's okay. You know, one thing will lead to another. Please be careful. Okay, let's take responsibility for our relationship before God. Okay, and that's why children, you need to work with your parents. That's what God intended it to be. Let's work together. And for the older ones, let's encourage. If a person has fallen into sin, guide that person back with genuine love, and so that person needs to be repentant as well. I've seen people, thank God there was this non-believer, she's only 14. Okay, I've just said 14, and thankfully the family did not choose abortion. Okay, so she, 14, she cannot go to school, she went to a place, she had a baby was given up for adoption. Okay, you know the sad thing? 1 month later, I saw her, she was just with another boy. You know why? Parents weren't involved. Parents were not involved. Parents still are not involved today. That's about 10, 15 years ago. It's a sad thing. Okay? So, personal responsibility of individuals, keep ourselves pure before God. Families, let's work together. Okay? Abortion is sin. Even if the child is known that, even doctors tell you it's no point, no, you are going to have a hard life. You know? Still with grace, say God, because every child, deformed or not, comes from God. Say what? Let's look at Exodus chapter 4:11. Okay? This is something that's sometimes hard for people to understand. Exodus 4:11. And we have to see from the biblical perspective, all right? Just with this, I'll just finish up. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 10 to 12, I just read. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Notice God's response. And the Lord said unto him, Who made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? You know what God is saying? Who makes the blind? God says, I did. Moses is saying, I'm by nature not eloquent. God said, I gave you that nature. Which means that, remember, even a blind child is a gift from God if it's given in conception. We can't see the plan of God. That's what Brother Taylor was mentioning. Sometimes we can't see why God gave us a blind child. But, you know, later on, what I would say is, when we make decisions, we can only make decisions based on what God says and what information we have now. We cannot speculate next time. Oh, no, I'm going to have a hard time. I don't think I can manage financially. When we make those decisions, it's based on unbelief. Because God says, if you honor me, I'll honor you. If you trust my word to provide for you and not sin against me in this area, I will provide for you. And one thing I've learned, I mean, this is just anecdotal, okay? We cannot base decision based on what we call anecdotal testimonies. It must be based on principle, what God says. But I did realize one thing. Many of the people who do have, not all, developmental problems, children with family developmental problems, generally there's a lot of support financially, people who will gather around them to support them, generally. Okay? And I believe that's part and parcel of God's grace as well. Any questions on this position from the scriptures? And I think we all agree abortion is sin before God. Intentional abortion, that is. Spontaneous abortion is God's. Well, I've seen another family who the child was at risk. I think my wife knows the family as well. And the doctor said, I think we can just go in, just clean the baby out. You know what the wife says? No, we wait for the Lord's timing. They were in hospital for 4 weeks. And the husband says, we wait on God. And finally, he spontaneously aborted. So they submitted to God. Yeah, they're willing to pay the price, which is heavy financially, but they're willing to pay the price because the baby was at risk already. It's only about 20 over weeks. At risk, She stayed in the bed until after 4 weeks, the baby spontaneously aborted. And they gave God, and they learned patience and trusting God. That's the issue. No, for us, I said, the doctor said, just go lah. I mean, why wait, you know? But they are willing to wait on the Lord because they don't want to be part of the abortion process. Does it make sense? Okay? So, I'm praying, and I hope all parents will pray. No teen will need to go through this. Amen? Let's pray and work to build spiritual strength. And teenagers, you need to learn to say no. You need to learn to say no. Guys, you need to learn to control your hands. Okay? You need to learn that. So that you don't go into an area that Satan will tempt you. And girls, when my pastor in America, they do this. If a guy does this, just slap the guy and walk off, you know, or shout or scream at the guy. Just do that, okay? And any questions or anything to add for parents and all that? I say that strongly, and that's very, very important. Okay, let's honor the Lord. Remember, your body belongs to God, so let's honor Him. Okay, any questions? Okay, let's have a word of prayer, and then we can break. Lord, thank you for helping us, Lord, to come to a place where we will learn. Abortion is sin, is murder in your sight. And Father, we see in the Old Testament how many young babies were sacrificed to Baal. How many of these little innocent ones has their life stuffed out simply because of some people's superstition and convenience and comfort. Father, I pray for every young person in Bethel Baptist Church, every child in the Sunday school up there, Lord, they will be taught the right things. Life begins at conception. The moment God gave life, Lord, that's where it all begins. The fact that things are reproducing, Lord, is where life begins. And Father, we can argue till the cows come home about where, but we know the moment, Lord, there is the conception, there is life. Because there is no reproduction or multiplication without life. I pray for every young person, Lord, they will keep themselves emotionally pure. And then they'll keep themselves physically pure. But more than anything, they'll keep themselves set apart for you alone until you bring that person into their lives, Lord. There will be their spouse and their life partner for the rest of their lives. Lord, I pray that you burn this conviction into our hearts. And for couples who have questions about the other area of contraception and things, I pray, Father, that we will handle it from your perspective, not from selfish perspective, not from what I can or cannot do, but more what does God say. And then we act in accordance to those principles. Help us, Lord, to be people of your word. Because we love Christ and we want to honor Him even in the small things of our lives. So Lord, we thank you. We pray, Lord, as we have a culture of learning from your word and then establishing it, concluding it, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be very clear. And that everyone, Lord, ambassador will understand what God says about this area and live this area and encourage others to do so because it is right. We thank you for what you're going to do. Bless the service to follow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.